see it in the movies and the paper and the TV news. Somebody's army is always on the move. There's gonna be a battle. The lines have been drawn. They got guns and tanks and planes. The wells are gone dry and the water is bad. And the air is acid rain. There's war after war and rumors of war from the east. There's a rumbling in the ground and they're talking about the beast. Good mother's cry calls the rivers run high with the blood of too many sons. Some people say peace is on the way, but the worst is still to come. Cause the prophets wrote about it and Jesus spoke about it and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book. Cities and the missiles stand ready for flight. A pale horse rides like the wind across the night. And that rumbling in the desert like thunder getting closer. Are the trumpets getting ready to blow? There's gonna be a shout that'll wake the dead. We better be ready to go. The prophets wrote about it and Jesus spoke about it and John got to take a look. And he told us what he saw and it's easy to see. It's going by the book. It's going by the book.
And welcome to the Watching for Jesus Bible study for tonight. Tonight is a Bible study, but it'll be a little bit different tonight in a different area that you may not be expecting. In the Bible, it talks about race relations, slavery of a different sort. And there's race relations in the Bible. Since we're heading that way, with their plans and so forth, I sort of talk about that tonight, relative to biblical teaching. Not from a political standpoint, from a biblical standpoint. So that's going to be the tack that I will head tonight, is what the Bible talks about relative to racism, prejudice, and discrimination of different races and interracial marriage, and so forth, based on biblical teaching. In the military, you have an M16 rifle, a K-bar knife, ammunition. These are weapons you use to survive in a combat situation. Well, in a New World Order, the agenda of Satan, of Lucifer, to bring this world under a new world order, a one world government, religion, and economics establishment. His weapon is many weapons. One is racism. Two is feminism. Three is war. Education, finance, the arts, philosophy, religion, politics, all these are weapons that he uses to bring this world to to once and for all his short stint as a world dictator. Very short. But these are weapons. Racism is a weapon. Feminism is a weapon orchestrated, prepared by Satan to control the masses. It's not spontaneous. It's not people just getting together and coming up and we're going to do this and do that. This is organized by a Luciferian agenda. I'm going to talk about that tonight. And expose it for how they're using it as a weapon, but from a biblical point of view. That being said, let's get started. Lord, tonight we pray. We lift up to you, Father, this Bible study. In the name of your Son, Jesus, Father, to guide us along today, as we dedicate this, Father, to bring the light, knowledge about how Satan operates and works, the knowledge of the enemy helps us to defeat or to deal with the enemy, Lord. We know in the scriptures that people perish due to lack of knowledge. Father, role and the goal of these Bible studies, Father, is to bring knowledge, to expose it for what it really is, and to pray against these weapons that Satan uses. Father, we're praying that the Holy Spirit will come down today and now soon in this country as we come to a pathway that, Father, is leading us to division, but headed toward a union under the control of Satan. The Father, we know is a short time, but Lord, to help us with the Holy Spirit, with insight and wisdom and discernment, to spread the gospel to those that's in need, that Father, that you wake up, that divine appointments are set up for those that are ever awakened, that the word of the gospel be delivered to them. Father, take away these thoughts of suicide. And Father, we know these are coming supernaturally and by technology mixed together. And Father, for those that are depressed during this holiday season, that Lord, you'll lead them to the truth about these holidays and to bring Jesus in their life. Father, all this week, we pray that you'll guide us with your Holy Spirit in our broadcast, in our Bible studies. Until that day comes, Lord, that there's a change in what we do forever. Until that time, Lord, I know this is practice, teaching, learning, and the time of spreading the Great Commission to spread the gospel. We pray for healing of our family members and friends. Those that's asked for prayers, Lord, we pray for Thomas tonight. Father, he's going through a change, and Father, for his protection. The Father out west there, the things are going to get a little sticky. It's going to get very supernatural, Lord, we know. But for his protection from the family's conflicts and from the area out there with the witchcraft is going to increase immensely. Father, to guide him in the right path, and Father, protect him with the blood of Jesus. And for the healing to take place, to give him rest. And Father, we revisit all those we prayed for in the past. For those seeking your face, seeking your name, Father, for them to be protected when they witness to others. And for healing of all our ones we prayed for in the past, Lord, that they'll be healed in your glory. That's why we pray, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors. And to lead us not into the temptation. But deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Family, it can almost be proven now. And you know, correct me if I'm wrong. Send me an email or Facebook or whatever. Carrier pigeon, I don't care, whatever. If I'm wrong, in any case, let me know. But. There's a movie coming out called Selma. It's based on race relations. I don't know if it's a takeoff on Martin Luther King in that period of time in the 60s. I don't know the background entirely of Selma. But here's the point. Ferguson takes place, which, you know, theoretically is a spontaneous event. What the cops are doing bad and just happened to happen. And then people rise up spontaneously. And the riots take place nationwide, or whatever is happening. Looting, etc., like several events in the past. But here's the problem. Ferguson takes place, and a movie comes out about the same time, around January, coming up now, but the timing is impeccable. And they're linking up with the theme songs of some of the trailers is to Ferguson. Family, you know it's going to take them a year to do a film. And now all of a sudden this film comes out. Family, all this is pre-planned. It's all pre-planned. Why? Because America's in a state of apathy as part of the 8-step plan of 250 years of social engineering and manipulation by the Illuminati and the Jesuits through education, religion, wars, etc., arts, that's guided our culture into being apathetic, which is about the seventh phase of a nine-phase program. It takes 250 years to foment. Oh, yeah, it's scientific. We're at the apathetic stage. So that means that things could happen and nobody's going to rise up spontaneously. So they got to organize it. They got to pay and train activists. What day are we going to have it? Well, in 2 months. We got to give everybody trained. See, so it's not spontaneity. It's not spontaneous. It's pre-planned. That's the difference. And you know, a lot of these people are religious or whatever, the church. Others really don't care. The Bundy Ranch shows another degree using a different trigger of patriotism. Can't use a race relation card in Bundy. They're all white folk. So they had to use the patriotism as a trigger. And they did. You got to find what makes these cultures tick. And then cause them to fight each other. And then you come in and bring order. Family, it works every single time. Man, nobody's catching on to this. If they wouldn't do it, all this wouldn't happen. And they'd come to an agreement. I know that would what would happen in Kosovo. It's left up to the Albanians and Serbs. Leave the UN out of it. They would have worked it out. But the American side, the MPRI and the CIA, forms the Black Eagles, a little group of 18, 25 to 28 years old Albanians that are your rebels, part of KLA, that would attack Serbs and their villages. And then disappear in the night. On the Serb side, the Red Berets, working under a Freemason by the name of Milosevic. Yeah. Trained in New York in the late 80s. Under the guise of being a banker. But really, they trained him to be a puppet. So Milosevic is part of this agenda, like Putin is. like all of them are. So the Serbs don't know. Albanians don't know. But I know for a fact in the beaches of Montenegro, I know that the Serbs and Albanians enjoyed the beaches, no problem. They go back to Kosovo, they're fighting. Huh. This is how Satan works. Hitler was going to use the Muslims of Albanians to take out, subjugate the Serbian Orthodox Christians. That's what Vietnam was partially about, too. The Albanians had what's called Bali Kumtar, which is a movement of nationality. They didn't have a nation, so they said, we'll give you one if you work with us here. The Serbs have the greater Serbia. Albanians had a greater Albania. I know all about that. Fishari and the whole thing. So what it is the Jesuits go into the culture, live among them, find out how they live, what they eat, what they do, what their religion, everything. They go back to London. Then they sit around a table, I guess eating crumpets and tea, and discuss how they're going to destroy that country and take it over. That's what Lawrence of Arabia and Hitler was all about in the Middle East. This is how it works. That's how Satan works. So now we're looking at his weapon, racism, prejudice, and discrimination from a biblical point of view. I'm going to give you some things that about the different races that you may agree with and you may not. I don't know. Take it with a grain of salt if you'd like. But this is what I found, and you can do what you want to with it. Where does the races come from in the first place? The Bible doesn't really tell you where the origin of the race is. It talks about the languages, Tower of Babel. Why? Because man was plotting against each other, so he changed the languages to different. Okay. As opposed to they're all speaking the same language. They all came from the same DNA, Noah, three sons and three wives. You know that all of mankind was wiped out in the flood. So all of mankind started over again with eight people. Noah, wife, three sons, three wives. I guess in the modern day that'd be my three sons. Our father knows best. No. Anyway, so the Bible doesn't really give us the origin of the different races or skin colors in humanity. Languages, it does. You can't plan together and work together when you speak in a different language. Doesn't work too well. God solved that problem in the Bible. When he sent the Jewish John, Paul, Peter, disciples, 120 all total, for the Great Commission. They were speaking in tongues for real. They didn't have time to take a lesson, of course, in Pilsar and learn how to speak Albanian or Serbian or Egyptian and whatever other languages they could. They didn't have time to take language courses. So God solved that by giving them tongues. Not this babble, babble, babble they got in these churches today. That's satanic. They tell you it's not, but it is. It's a mockery of the real tongues. The tongues given the disciples in the days after Jesus ascended was able to speak your language and the other culture, wherever John and Peter and Paul went to, or, well, you know, wherever all the other went to, different languages, they would understand that language. They would understand, like, I'm speaking English, but I go to some place in China and they understand me. Even though I'm speaking English, they understand it. That's supernatural. That's tongues. And the other part of tongues, I speak the spiritual language, but someone's there to interpret it. I've yet to see that in any church or even read about or hear about it. They all just do that babble stuff. They tried to teach me how to speak in tongues when I went to a Bible study. I said, what? Yeah, Tom. I said, what? You start making noises. I said, making noises? Yeah. What? What are you talking about? You know, Mary, give me an example. She did that stuff. I'm like, hey, okay, boom shakalaka, like a boom shakalaka, like da da da. I said, what are you? I don't understand a word you're saying. But the Holy Spirit knows. God knows. Holy Spirit. Oh, so God knows what I'm saying, and my spirit is talking to God behind my back. I don't know, understand what you're doing. Oh yeah, I went round and round with them. So I said, okay, I'll give it a shot. And I said, okay, I'll do this. So I started doing that babbling stuff. Tom, you're doing it. I said, doing what? It was like something out of a comedian show, but it wasn't. It was real. I said, I'm doing what? It's like Abbott Costello. You're talking tongues. I said, man, I'm talking babbling. I have no idea what I'm saying. I'm just giving you words that I'm just making up. But it's coming through supernaturally. I said, yeah, okay. I couldn't get it through to them. This is nonsense. So I started doing study on tongues. And it's nonsense. No interpreter. I had no clue what I was saying. And God knew I didn't know what I was saying. Now, that's a real tongues is talking, and the other culture would understand what you're saying, and you're wondering, wow, the Holy Spirit's helping me speak to him, and I didn't have to take a course in Pilsner. The Bible doesn't talk about the origin of the different races, of skin colors and humanity. In actuality, there's only one race. Family, that's a human race. And within this human race is a diversity of skin color, other physical characteristics. And some people speculate that when God confused the languages at the Tower of Babel, you find in Genesis 11, verses 1 to 9, he also created a racial diversity. Now, I did research in several different websites, theologians. I never just take one site ever. I got a couple favorite sites I use. Some of them, none of them I trust, really, tell you the truth. I like it that way. So I find the variants of three or more that say the same thing, and I look at their background and see if I can trust them. And I have my own. I pray, and you kind of know when things kind of feel right. But God did create racial diversity. It is possible that God made the genetic changes to humanity to better enable people to survive in a different ecologies. Some people speculate when he made the changes to the languages, he also created the racial diversity. Either at the same time or over a long period of time. Either way, as when it happened. It wasn't that since Noah was perfect this generation, that Noah had the, and some people believe that Noah and his wife, three sons, three wives, had a racial diversity. And from that, that Adam and Eve had the ability, had the genetic makeup that they had all the races in their DNA. So that somehow or another, the wives and sons and Noah brought that diversity out of the flood, and then somehow, started creating Chinese and black and Hispanic and white folk and whatever else. But that doesn't fit the biological makeup as it is today. Of course, God can do anything he wants, but It doesn't fit the principles that God used. If Noah was perfect in his generation, because that means he wouldn't be diverse in that. In other words, the three sons of a different cultural skin color and so forth came out of Noah and his wife. How'd that work? Well, they got Japheth. He's Caucasian, part Chinese. Oh, there's Ham. He's black. There's Shem. Well, a darker skin color, not quite. It's like, wife, what you been doing? You know, how did this happen? That don't make sense. So it's possible that God made genetic changes to humanity to better enable these people to survive in the different ecologies, such as, and also with the animals and the plants and so forth. And the darker skin of Africa being better equipped genetically to survive the heat in Africa. According to that view, God confused the languages and causing humanity to segregate linguistically. Then he created genetic racial differences based on which racial group would eventually settle up. Which makes sense in some way, because your Caucasians, if you look north, where Japheth went, they're all Caucasian, white skin color. You go to the right, go east, you go into Oriental, still Caucasian, but with different eyes and sort of different body makeup a little bit, but still Caucasian skin color. Go further south, gets bronze, like Indian, Middle Easterner. Go further south, and you get darker skin color. Now, at some point in Genesis 10, God divided the land. There's no real definition of what that means. Of course, science would have you believe that over a period of millions and millions of years, the shifting of the continents and the plates, 6 inches per year, whatever, that's where it split apart the continents. Because they do fit together like a jigsaw puzzle, you notice that, right? So that means all the land was one land by the time they got off the ark. Had land bridges. It carved out the Grand Canyon with a drain, draining away. God covered it up with ice in the polar regions. And the melting of the ice would raise the water table. To them, once the cultures have divided, God would cause the heat, melt the ice. The ice would raise the water table, thereby eliminating the land bridges. God segregated us, but still worked together, but he segregated us. He created, then maybe, genetic racial differences based on each racial group to settle the different languages. Never meant to come together, so we could not plot against him. But when possible, while possible, there's no explicit biblical basis for this view. The races, skin colors of humanity are nowhere really mentioned in connection with the Tower of Babel, just linguistically. We know, I've got a study, that they've proven that language does change DNA. Also, the ley lines of the earth have different power structures within the earth of electromagnetic energy that would, is like microwave, would affect DNA. And molecules and particles over the long term. It's all very interesting sometimes. But the Tower of Babel, very significant. The Tower of Babel was built based on alchemy to allow the fallen angels to come into this realm. That's the purpose of the Tower of Babel. The fallen angels channeled Nimrod and others to teach them what to do. And at the Tower of Babel, when the different languages came to existence, groups that spoke one language moved away with the others of the same language. That's common sense. And doing so, the gene pool for a specific group shrank dramatically, and this group no longer had the entire human population to mix with. So there's a closer inbreeding took place. And in time, in due time, certain features based on that area were emphasized in these different groups. And this includes animals as well. That's why you don't find polar bears in Africa. Or coconuts in Antarctica. A bit of extreme, but it's true. If it didn't have an effect, how come you don't find a polar bear in Africa? So as further inbreeding occurred through the generations, or God did it instantly, supernaturally, when the time he changed the languages, he could do it either way he wanted. The gene pool grew smaller and smaller to the point that people of one language family had the same of similar features. You ever notice that even in America, when you have those that's indigenous to, say, Chicago or Arizona or Georgia, indigenous to that area of the United States even, they have a particular appearance in the eyes or so forth. They look similar. Do you not notice that sometimes a wife and a husband who have been married for 60 years start looking alike? Another explanation is that Adam and Eve possessed the genes to produce black, brown, and white offspring. It's possible. Everything in between. And that'd be similar to how a mixed race couple sometimes has children that vary in color, but it doesn't explain the totally black or totally white. That would not explain the extremes. Since God obviously desired humanity to be diverse in appearance, but you could say it makes sense that God would have given Adam and Eve the ability to produce children of different skin tones. Possibly. But you know, later, the only survivor of the flood was Noah and his wife and the three sons and three wives, eight people. So maybe Noah's daughters-in-law were different races. It's also possible that Noah's wife was a different race than Noah. Also keep in mind, they kept very close to the genetic bloodlines and marriages because of the intermingling of the Nephilim. Whatever the explanation, the most important aspect of this question is that we're all the same race, all created by the same God, all created for the same purpose. To glorify him, no matter what you are. Now, the first thing to understand in what we're discussing tonight is that there's only one race, the human race. That's it. The mixing of the race, this human race, is a Nephilim DNA. The human race is made of carbon, a lot of other things, of course. Iron and carbon is the basics for the human race, the DNA, structure, RNA, and DNA. I got studies that show that languages had an effect on the RNA. And microwave technology has an effect on RNA. I have studies that show that when God took up Enoch, he quote-unquote translated him. Now, I did a study on translation. And it, translation is what you think it is, words, dialect, etc. I found there a reference of translation that talked about changing RNA and DNA. That surprised me. So God changed the DNA right then, right there, at the time, of Enoch, before he could bring him into heaven alive. He had to change that DNA. An RNA. Or his physical body would burn, would incinerate, because the carbon DNA of the body would not be able to handle the energy output to bring him through that portal. So God changed his body structure. As the faith of Peter changed his body structure when he walked on the water. Until he lost his faith. He got scared. Jesus, help me. He started sinking. That means his body structure started changing. That's where healing comes from. Your faith, true faith, and God's will, he changes the body structure to get rid of the disease or to exorcise the demon out of you, which causes the disease, or otherwise. That's real healing, not this Reiki nonsense. I do Reiki. I know Reiki. Especially in the fall, when the leaves come down, I Reiki all day long. Get that leaves off that yard. I do all kinds of Reiki, you know. I Reiki leaves as long as I want to. Reiki's demonic. Yoga's demonic. Sorry, but it is. Opens up portals. That's different than relaxation. It's not the same thing. Anyway. Caucasians, Africans, Asians, Indians, Arabs, Jews are not different races. Rather, they're different ethnicities of the human race. All human beings have the same physical characteristics, with some minor variations, of course. But more importantly, all human beings are created in the image and likeness of God. Because God so loved the world so much that he sent Jesus to lay down his life for us. John 3:16. So the world includes all ethnic groups. God doesn't show partiality or favoritism. However, he picked the Jewish Hebrew Jews, starting with Abraham, the first Hebrew Jew, to bring the gospel to mankind. He knew what they would do, but he still gave them the opportunity. The 12 tribes of Jacob divided up in their birthdays, given different jobs to the 12 tribes. They failed. 10 dispersed, 2 remained, and fought each other for 200 years. God's word was not allowed to be sent out then. The Jews failed. Tried again when Jesus Christ came. They reject him again. Daniel's 70th week was delayed. Hadn't happened yet. We're waiting on it. So the task of bringing God's word to mankind fell upon the Greek, the Gentiles, the times of the Gentiles. I keep forgetting about that. And the Gentiles and the Greek fell upon the English, which happens to be a universal language. His name is King James. It'll go back to the Hebrews after Armageddon. The time of the Gentiles will be over because Jesus Christ himself will be on the throne. And the remnant of human beings left will begin the population of the earth once again. They'll come out of the mountains from whence they came, went after the abomination of desolation. They'll return from being protected by God through the tribulations as mortals. they'll return to begin the human race all over again for the 1,000 years, millennium. That's not happened yet. And they keep forgetting about that. But God doesn't show partiality or favoritism. He's going to use the Jews, Hebrew Jews, to deliver God's word throughout the world, so that everybody would get the word. Since he don't show partiality or favoritism, neither should we. James 2:4 describes those who discriminate as judges with evil thoughts. Are ye not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? It describes those who discriminate as judges with evil thoughts. Yeah. Instead, we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. Are they doing that today? No. KKK? No, 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 no. Black Panthers? No, no. In the Old Testament, God divided humanity into two racial groups, Jews and Gentiles. God's intent at that time for the Jews to be the kingdom of priests, ministering to the Gentile nations. Instead, for the most part, the Jews became proud, especially the tribe of Dan, proud of their status and despised the Gentiles. Jesus Christ put an end to this, destroying the dividing wall of hostility. You'll find in Ephesians 2:14. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. All forms of racism, prejudice, and discrimination are affronts to the work of Christ on the cross. And Jesus commands us to love one another as he loves us. John 13:34. You find it there. So if God's impartial, loves us with impartiality, then we need to love each other the same high standard that Jesus teaches in Matthew 25. That whenever we do to the least of his brothers, we do to him. We tend to forget that, don't we? I know in my old days I did. I sure did. I'm not innocent. Do you think that I tell you these things that I'm of a higher standard? No. The things I know, hardly. The things I say, I have to say. Does it convict me when I'm talking in my Bible studies? Yeah, darn right it does. If we treat a person with contempt, we're mistreating a person created in God's image. We're hurting somebody whom God loves and for whom Jesus died for. So, racism. And racism in the different forms, to various degrees, has been a plague on humanity, has been used by Satan to cause division for thousands of years. The white folk in the South say, well, slavery is in the Bible, we can do it. Boy, they're so misled. They forget about Willie Lynch. Where do you think lynching came from? How about Lynchburg, Virginia? Willie Lynch. There's a different slavery in the Bible than what the white folk in the South did. You don't rape, murder, illegally hang another culture of people because they're slaves, or cause them to separate, be mindfully cruel to another culture. Is not in the Bible. Bible Belt. Not so. Your ancestors were wrong. Dead wrong. Going back to 1600s. where Freemasonry came in. Brothers and sisters of all ethnicities should not be. About racism. And victims of racism or prejudice and discrimination need to forgive. And others need to repent. Ephesians 4, this is an important message tonight. I think. Liable to tick off a lot of people too. But I personally don't care. Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake had forgiven you. So when those folks go to church on either side, what are they studying today? Are they studying that? You wouldn't have any problems today, would they? If I'm not politically correct, I don't care. Whether people like me or not, as long as I'm telling the truth. I care what people hear. If they get mad at me, I don't care about that. If I'm wrong, I'll apologize, repent, and I'll correct it. But if I'm not, I'll stand by it till I die. I mean that. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. See, racists may not in some way deserve our forgiveness, but we deserve God's forgiveness for less, far less, and we still have to forgive, and they got to repent. Those who practice this racism and prejudice, discrimination, need to repent. Romans 6:13. I feel that once I finish this tonight, that I need to put this out pretty quick. This lesson tonight, with the one I did the other night. Romans 6:13. Neither yield ye members as instruments of your unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And then go to Galatians 3, verse 28. There's a neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. Man, you can't get more exact than that. So now what does the Bible say about interracial marriage? Oh. Boy, I know how to step in it or what? I looked up a couple of places and I found a good place to talk about it. I checked it out with some other references. I did a lot of checking out, actually. Interracial marriages. You know, the Old Testament law commanded the Israelites not to engage in interracial marriage. Which brings me to a point. If the Old Testament law commanded the Israelites not to engage in interracial marriage, how is it that there's interracial marriage of those within Noah? They wouldn't have. Now, would they? Because they're righteous, right? Of the Jewish or that bloodline commanded by God. You know, God passed the law to Adam and Eve. God passed the law, as the scriptures say, to Abraham. And certainly the law was passed to Moses. Shall I say it? Written in stone. God's the same. The Old Testament law remained the same until Jesus came. So the idea of them having different races inside the different families, now that possibility is even slimmer. But back to interracial marriages. Deuteronomy 7, 3 to 4. I may go over tonight a little bit, so hang in there. Not long. Deuteronomy 7, verse 3 to 4. Neither shall thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto the son, nor his daughter thou shalt give unto the son. For they will turn away the son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. That's before Jesus Christ, by the way. The law was harsh. The reason for all this is not primarily racial in nature. Rather, it was religious in nature. The reason God commanded against interracial marriage was that people of other races were idolaters and worshippers of false gods back then. Israelites would be led astray from God if they intermarried with idol worshippers and pagans or heathens. And yet a similar type principle that's laid out in the New Testament, but at a kind of different level. 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? So, just as the Israelites, believers in one true God, were commanded not to marry idolaters, so Christians, believers in one true God, are commanded not to marry unbelievers. To answer that question specifically, then, no, the Bible does not say that interracial marriage is wrong. It doesn't say it's wrong. It's about believing or non-believing. Martin Luther King, he noted that a person should be judged by his or her character, not by skin color. There's no place in the life of a Christian for favoritism based on race. You can read that throughout in James 2. In 10 verses, 1 to 10. I'll let you do the reading on that. When you select a mate, a Christian should always first find out if a potential spouse is born again by faith in Jesus Christ. That's really significant. John 3, 3 to 5. Jesus answered and said to him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And talks about here the water and the Spirit is about the same thing. Because some people use that as it's required to be baptized. That's not necessarily true. You can't always be baptized if there's not a preacher around or somebody to dip you in water. But you can be baptized by the Spirit. Interracial marriage is not a matter of right or wrong, but of wisdom, discernment, and prayer. Now, the only reason interracial marriage should be considered carefully is the difficulties of a mixed race couple that they may experience because of others who have a hard time accepting them. It puts a burden on the child sometimes, or the in-laws accepting them in religion and working and whatever else. There are problems along those ways. Many interracial couples experience discrimination and ridicule, sometimes even from their own families. Some interracial couples experience difficulties with their children the skin tones of different shades from parents or siblings. Interracial couple needs to take these kind of things into consideration and be prepared for them. Should they decide to go ahead and marry, doesn't mean it won't work. Just means be ready for the possible problems. Again, though, the only biblical restriction placed on whom a Christian may marry is whether or not the other person is a member of the body of Christ. So you see, if you listen to my broadcast today, and you talk here now about the different races marrying. Now listen. Now, if you hadn't learned my broadcast earlier today, this may not make sense to you. But those that listen to me today in broadcast, watch this. Huh. So a mixed couple gets married. You have a black and white couple or Chinese and American, whatever. I mean, Chinese and Caucasian, whatever. So then they got to deal with difficulties. Their children getting along with other people. They look different in both groups and so forth. But did I not say today that the goal of the Illuminati was to bring all the cultures together, have her intermingle, so they're all intermingled together, so there's no more conflict. And then to eliminate all the pure races, all of them, and have your mixed races as a culture. Because then it would all be the same, you see. This is so intricate. Wow. This is amazing. See, that proves it right there. Why America, since 1425, was planned by the Illuminati to be a diverse melting pot of cultures for this single purpose. For over 600 years, 700, 800 years, almost 700 years, they achieved it in the year 2013. You'll find this proof in the article entitled "The Changing Face of America," National Geographic, October 2013. They have accomplished the new culture, and this is what they've done. That's why America is what it is. The melting pot. For this one purpose. God divided the land. God divided the cultures. Satan said, okay, I'm going to have them fight each other. Use the North American continent as a collecting place. Have them fight each other in all kinds of different ways. So they'll get tired of fighting and they want to come together. This is the big plan. And it's worked. I'll look at the bigger picture. The issues of race was set up to divide man along the languages of the Tower of Babel. God never intended for mankind to marry outside the race, but to live among the race and tongues harmoniously. Satan took this division, created the flags and patriotism and countries and wars and civil wars, strife, to create chaos in order to have order. That's their motto, order out of chaos. So the ultimate goal of Satan is to bring the races together, procreate the races into one race, to eliminate the races conflict and bring everyone under a mixed race, one religion, one government, one language, and one currency. He has accomplished this very thing. And this is written down in all kinds of places. But we're to love and care for each other, but not come together and fight each other. The races were formed after the Tower of Babel. In conclusion. Ho-ho, this can really stir up a controversy coming toward me by saying all this. It's definitely not politically correct, to say the least. But it don't matter to me. So he has, but as long as we have faith in true Jesus, nothing else matters. I don't think race is a problem. Religion of some sort is. USA, United States of America, was never meant to be free, and it never has. The North American continent was meant to be the New Atlantis by Sir Francis Bacon. We were the melting pot of the world. FDR was just part of this by his own quote. March 4th, 1939, quote, "I'm going to infest America with all the aliens possible." This goes back before FDR. When they built the tower, the Washington Monument, when they built the Statue of Liberty, all that was to invite and bring in other cultures, all of us, to start intermingling for this one reason. Now, some of you may be shaking your head and say, "Wow, I don't know about all that. I've done the research." I talked about this earlier today, actually. Wasn't planned this way. But this is a biblical approach to this racism. Genesis 11:1-4. "And the whole earth was of one language and one speech. And it came to pass as it journeyed from the east that they found the plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, 'Go and let's make brick and burn them thoroughly.' And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. And they said, 'Go to let us build us a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let's make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth.'" Oh, wow. Genesis 11:5-6. "And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. And the Lord said, 'Behold, the people are one, and they have but one language. And this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them, which they have imagined too.'" "Go, let us go down and there confound their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city." They quit, in other words. "Therefore is the name of it called Babel, because the Lord did there confound their language of all the earth. And from thence did the Lord scatter them abroad upon the face of the earth." December 11th, 2013, last year, found an article, "Ethnic Norwegians in Population Decline. The number of ethnic Norwegians has dropped over the past decade, with Norway's population growth attributable solely to immigration and children born to Norwegians with an immigrant background, according to figures, Statistics Norway." 9 in 10 babies born in parts of Britain have a foreign parent. See, people don't know what's going on. It's all over the world. It's happening. I got the articles right here. I can keep a track of it. It's happening right under our noses, and these people don't understand this. They don't see the bigger picture that we're talking about tonight. You've got Islamic fundamentalists in Norway, in Sweden. What in the world? Why would someone from the Middle East even think about wanting to go where it's cold, snow, and whatever else up there, unless they're prompted to do so? You see how it works? The figures showed 88,086 babies born in London equivalent to 65.6%, had either one or two parents born outside the UK. I guess statistics prove all this. I've been doing a lot of research. And it's just amazing how this is coming to fruition. Changing faces of America, the melting pot of the world. It's taking place right before our very eyes. And Satan's plan, for short period of time, will come to a fruition for only a short period of time. Now tomorrow I'm going to continue on with all this in different areas and showing how Satan operates, population extermination, population explosion, and the Satan god of this world, but temporarily. It's quite an amazing study. When I got into it, to see it all come to place, connect the dots like a jigsaw puzzle. How they do it, it's amazing. But family, you've lost it already. You lost it to the cross of Calvary. Don't ever forget that. I don't give a hoot if a great big meteorite hits the middle of the ocean. Don't matter what they do, what they come up with, how they do it, whether they portray some meteorite somehow or another, and then take off a nuclear explosion in the middle of the ocean and say, oh, that was a meteorite. Whatever they do, it don't matter. God's in control. And greater is He in you than in the rest of the world. Don't forget that. Okay. Well, family, if it comes to your mind about tonight, because I really talked about controversial subjects, oh, to say the least. Let me know if you got something special to tell me, or you disagree or agree or something. I don't know. Or you want me to cover next, or you just think I'm crazy. Whichever the case may be. Don't matter. Let me know. And tomorrow we'll continue. Let you all know that my broadcast and my Bible studies are played up in HighPointRadio.net, excuse me, HighPointRadio.net, John Kirkler, H-E-R-K-A-L-E-R, New York, New Jersey, and Pennsylvania, and he's got sponsors up there, and you can find his sponsors, I think, on the internet. Under HighPointRadio.net. My website, WatchmanForJesus.com. And my Facebook is Watchman for Jesus. I think this month might be interesting. I don't make predictions and all that stuff. But the 20th to 25th of this month might prove to be interesting. I don't know. I guess we'll find out. Whatever happens, if anything at all, just keep in mind who's in control. That's all. Lord, thank you tonight we come together for this Bible study, Lord, that we thank you for the opportunity we have. Father, give us patience. Give me patience. Father, those that's talking to you now, the prayers, you hear their prayers and you know what their hearts. Some are different than what I say. You hear all the prayers. Each of their families, friends, their own protection. Father, you hear the prayers. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that gives us this opportunity. Father, we know that test of time is really coming. Father, we pray for that courage, wisdom, discernment to get through these times. And patience if they don't happen when we want them to. The Father's thy will be done, not our own. Lord, in these things we pray. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, family, thank you all for your attention. And if it was controversial, well, what can I say? I'm not shy, but if I'm wrong at any time, please tell me. I'm not a theologian. I'm not a scientist. I'm just an old former Marine trying to figure this old world out and recoup from the mistakes I made in my past and do the best I can. And I will tell you, though, that the evil is increasing by child sacrificing these Luciferians in every country, including our own, at the highest level of government, or picking up steam. Pakistan, something like 130 children and teachers were sacrificed in Pakistan. Family, they're just not going out killing children and teachers, innocent people, just because they want to. This is satanic sacrifices. This is satanic sacrifices. These are open, reported. The same thing goes on behind the scenes with our elected officials, with military commanders at the highest level, congressmen, CEOs, Bohemian Grove. That's not reported. Let's keep it in all perspective. This is the rule, not the exception. But Satan is not king, he's prince only. Keep that in mind. But family, be ready. Y'all have a good night. God bless you. And we'll see y'all tomorrow at 4 o'clock in the Watchful for Jesus program. So thank you all for your attention. And God bless you and good night. This is the Watchman signing off.
I am with you every day.